Okay, welcome to the UK Monday Night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is Judith, speaking on the topic of step six. And here's Judith.
Hi, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everybody. And yeah, thanks to this meeting. It's been running for, gosh, I don't know how many years now. And yeah, it was the first meeting we put up in the BBA approach in the UK or in Europe, maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, my name is Judith. I am a compulsive overeater, selfaholic, and stressaholic. And I'm not gonna get, I don't think I'm gonna go into like all the ins and outs of everything about step six, but it sort of struck me that like how am I living in step six? How do I experience step six today? And so we're at the top of page 76. It says, if we can answer to our satisfaction, and of course that means everything that we were encouraged to do on the bottom of 75, if we felt the space of the broad highway and walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe, with God of your understanding, then we were to go home after step five and to really take a look to make sure that everything that was necessary to come out in our fifth step came out. So if you look down on that page, it's got a lot of instructions. What I found in my last step five was and pay note to now was is that they told me I was going to be looking for the nature of the wrong, so the essence of what has gone wrong. And then now they say, are you entirely ready to have all the defect of a character removed? And what I found in step five was that I've been playing a character. I've been living in a false identity, really, in and so it says, are you willing? On page 76, we've emphasized willingness as being indispensable. What am I here, though, being willing to, willing for what? Willing what? And I wrote in my in the side of my book here, I don't know why I wrote it, it says the great permission to let go of the foundation, the fundamental mistake. And for me, the fundamental mistake has been that I thought that everything I thought was real. And what I felt that everything I felt was real. But the book had asked me in step four and five to be clear, what is it that I've been giving value to? What is it that I that are factual facts that happened to me? A lot of us suffered from childhood traumas or childhood challenges or maybe teenage challenges. What are the facts? And then also, what is fancied or in our terms, imagined? And so I went on a big search and a big, having a deep look at that. And because I knew that I'd come to step six and seven before many times, I'd done the steps multiple times. And I know that the pivotal steps, meaning something changes here. And I had always put it in my head, like, okay, let me look at my defects in the character and let me make a list. And then I'll see what traits I should have. And then I'll work down hard at working at them. But that's just like Dan Sherman said, trimming the branches. But in the fifth step, it's really asking to seek the nature of what's gone wrong. And the nature for me is that I keep defecting, using the word defect, defecting from my true nature, from my oneness with God. And so what the book's asking us is, am I willing, since so much has been revealed, am I now ready to let God move or remove all of the things which have I've admitted are getting in my way that actually for me, most of them aren't true. Just because I feel, I was just talking with one of the people on here, we were having a chat earlier on, and it's like, just because I feel an emotion does not make that emotion doesn't make things real. That it just is a feeling and it's going to pass. It can't possibly be my essence because all my feelings pretty much pass by. Some of them psychologically get stuck, but it doesn't make it any more real today. It's just back then I had a reaction to facts. So it's the same thing with thinking. Was everything, is everything I think, what I think about actually happening, or is it real? Actually, most of the time when I check every part of my thinking, much of it is simply passing thoughts. The thinking is going on, but my thoughts aren't actually going to happen. Like fear, 99.9% of my fears have never come true. They've just passed in my mind. thought got a hang on them, my body starts reacting to them, and then none of them come true. So I was very intrigued by this, because if I'm going to allow or grant permission to this power that I truly believe has changed my existence to move it every time that comes, right? If I am really committed to step three, meaning I will, like I'm really serious, like I am able, so I can do, and I'm willing, which means I want to do it, and I'm going to do everything I can to grant permission for this power to change me, and to in the moment. So I used to think step six was like a, oh, who cares? It's one paragraph, let's move on. But actually I live in step six more and more and more, because so many scenarios come up. Like, I don't know, I was sharing this with someone before, like British Airways had a delay and we had to stay overnight and everybody had to find their own hotel. But apparently if you're in the EU or UK, they owe you some money for having delayed you overnight, not just to pay for your hotel, which they didn't book for us, but we certainly got money back for. But they owe you compensation. And today they told me they're not giving us the compensation. My old reaction would have been to self-will my mind into something caught from my history, which is, this is all unfair. Nobody's coming to help us. And also, I'm getting ripped off. This is a historic trauma of me feeling I'm ripped off. And instead, what occurred to me was, okay, maybe I'll run this by my husband. He's pretty rational. Before I make any moves, I start writing any emails. And let's see, maybe we should let a day pass or two to see if there's any. Do we want to go after this, or can we not be bothered to go after this? This is a very changed state. Why? Not even state. It's almost a falling back into a power, into greatness, into this universal consciousness, I guess, or something. I don't even want to call it consciousness, because that's kind of a noun, but it's like there's something conscious going on that reorders my thinking, feeling, emotions, and therefore my spirit adjusts itself to reality, to acceptance, to what is, and I'm willing. And I find myself absolutely willing to have it moved through me. And that's just a small one. Or like, I don't know, painting. In the winter, I pick up painting. I'm not very good at painting yet. And I'm very impatient. I have this trait, you know, old trait, that if I can't do it well, don't fucking do it. Don't do it. Or try it. Oh, bugger you, you know. Anyway, I made a Christmas card today. It's really quite lovely. But as soon as I look back at it, I thought, it's pretty ordinary though, isn't it? Really looks like I bought one from the store. And when my husband came down, he's like, what? That's amazing. Like, did you paint? And but this is a change in personality too. At least all I'm doing is a slight criticism of myself. Before I would have given up because the first two, three, four didn't work. What I was trying to do with this wash in the background wasn't working. The patience that I had for perfection was zero. Either it's going to be perfect or I don't have any patience. But something has shifted where while I was in the process of doing this painting, it occurred to me that it probably won't go right at first and it might not go right second or third. But on the fourth attempt, it got better and it looked a little better. And then I tried these little Christmas tree with this sponge the woman was showing me on YouTube. But before I used to think, you know, if I can't do it like the woman in YouTube, like what the heck am I trying for? This is who I was, and now something's moving through me that's much more kindly, compassionate, loving. My art is coming from a place of love. I think everything comes from a real sense of love. Otherwise, I wouldn't get upset or frustrated, or my character wouldn't come back out to rescue me from the what it feels is safety and security problems. But there are no safety and security problems with painting or gardening or screwing something up or anything really, or even saying no when I mean it and realizing, you know, some people might not like that no, but it is a no. It's guided through me to say no, because the character before would do a kind of, yeah, but maybe. And the only one I'm really pleasing is a false sense of a Judith that needs to make sure she's got a hang on everybody here. And this, of course, you know, is all my Al-Anon, ACA, all the stuff from my history. So it says, am I Have I admitted them, first of all, that they're getting in my way? They're getting in your way and they're getting in God's way. They're getting in the way of everything. What are they really getting in the way of is reality. They're just getting in the way of reality. And my reality now, there is only one reality. Bill said, there is one, may you find him now, capital O. So my intention with step six today and seven is always on, am I in reality or have I just gone off down an alleyway I shouldn't be going down? And am I willing to let this power take it? Or do I really want to just keep on holding on to another thought and another thought and another thought? And don't get me wrong, sometimes I do go down an alley and well, for me, I talked about in my workshop, it was like getting to the wrong station, getting on the wrong train, and it just rolls out the station and I don't know where I'm going. But what the sense or feeling is I'm going to keep myself safe and secure, which is the only other sense I'm going to have other than something absolutely is running my existence. And the only way I can be here now is because of that, which is breathing through me without any effort on my part, that is aware of what I'm thinking and that is aware of how I'm feeling. It's aware of everything. And it hasn't never, ever been. It's just I felt it didn't. It wasn't. It couldn't be there because things were chaotic. You know, as a young child, as a teenager, as an adult child, it doesn't really matter. 20 minutes ago, 2 years ago, 6 years ago, it doesn't really matter. I can give you a million examples. But there's lots of scenarios I can tell you where I like worrying what I look like. Many of you know I don't go out there still without double masks on because I have a disorder in my chest. And if I catch anything minor out there, or even major, but certainly the major elements of what's out there. So anyway, long story short, what I don't really care what your opinion of that is. It's my health, and my health is the number one fact. Aside from God, my health is second. That's it. And that message came to me because the power greater than me is saying to me, keep your friggin' mask on. And unless you're in an outdoors environment, which there's air flowing. And but I have to be in environments where I know I look a little dorky, a little weird, you know, I don't really care anymore. But for about 20 seconds, I care for about 20 seconds that once again, I'm looking different. But again, that's the old acting Judith character who used to carry around the terrifying fear of looking different, being the odd girl out, blah, 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 and who cared deeply and had to fit in and shape herself. And now it's just like, oh, well, if people are uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable, it's fine by me. It is the way it's going to be. And I haven't yet had a message from a power greater than me to do anything different. And so I'm not until I do get the go ahead and the clear to do that. But what I can tell you is that I'm not doing this myself, because if I was doing it with a self that I was so familiar and conditioned by, I would do everything opposite than all the things I just told you. It just would come to me that way. And then I would have to work hard to become willing to, and then ask God and beg God with some prayers and try some, you know, twisted noodling of the body meditation in order to try to get willing. And that was just not working for me. It just wasn't working. I couldn't magic it up myself. I couldn't hope to have it changed. It says in the book, and all those things were clear. It told us earlier on. So now I'm in a very different, almost permissive, and that's why I was surprised by this word. It says the great permission. I wrote it in my book a long time ago, and I don't know why. The great permission to that which I absolutely know, or its knowing is coming through Judith, is giving me this signal, just relax back, fall back. It's all right. It's all good. And whatever I'm supposed to show up as a true, it's not even a version of a Judith. It's the other version was absolutely not real. It was all in my head and my feelings and body. But the actuality of the facts about Judith right now, as God would have itself be through me, the non-separated part of self, or the one self, or one's self, a capital S, I feel like I have no other choice anymore but to live in that, which is my essential nature. Everything else is not making any sense anymore, but it doesn't mean I won't sometimes try too hard, knock myself on the back, you know, my motive will go off course.
5 minutes left.
Thanks, love. It will go off course. And the great one for me is get busy, drive harder, push. And, you know, I can only use examples of most recent things. You know, I think I even said it last week, perhaps. But, you know, when we had this delay in coming back from this holiday, you know, when you're on holiday, you just want to get home. But if you can't get home because they haven't got a pilot, fly your aircraft. And you're not in your mother country, so they haven't got any pilots because they're in a foreign country. And the old me, the urge was minor. Just like my compulsive eating is minor now, the urge might come once in a while and it's very minor compared to where it came before, and it would absolutely drown me. And I would have to shove some shit in my face, excuse my language. I would just have to, because I couldn't bear the pain of it all. And the mental obsession would tell me it would be fine. When that thing occurred in this airport with 350 people surging forward for information, I was standing back. I don't know how I was standing back, because the minor urge occurred in the body, but I knew, okay, just because there's an urge does not mean there's any action required. And it wasn't like I was thinking it. It was just coming to me, like the willingness to just say, well, we have a bit of a challenge here. We have a bit of a dilemma. And every time somebody would, because they wouldn't put it on the tannoy, every time they would leak a little bit more information about this, you got to get your own hotel. There aren't any hotels here. All this stuff. It was like, I will only go one of two places if I am not one in the power of God. I will go to overexcitement, or I will go into overcontrol, and I will make sure I'm in charge. And I didn't do either of those. I just knew we had a problem. We're probably going to have to solve this problem, so let's get solving. And even when the first problem couldn't get solved, the second one couldn't get solved, even when we solved a problem and then we're at a hotel and they've got 1,000 bookings and they can't really give us the rooms, another message comes in. So what I'm saying about step six is, there's nothing I can claim about why my fourth step came out the way it did, and why my fifth step went the way it did, and why there is a new abundance of willingness that is flowing through me. But I think that's my natural self. I really do believe that is the essence of who I am, one with and always connected and not ever without some source of power, as long as I don't find it objectionable for that power to flow through. And that's changed so much that I have almost a deliciousness or a sweetness, or I don't know, of course it's all in terms of food, isn't it? But all in taste, but it's a deliciousness, a sweetness, or beauty. I sometimes use the word beautiful, a beautiful experience of the calm that comes when living constantly in all the steps, is certainly in step six, without the task or the selfing or the edging of trying hard to do step six. It just is a way of being, and that is a way of being entirely, that means absolute willingness and readiness without effort on my part. And that's the 10th step, isn't it? The promise that comes, there'll be no effort on my part. And so sometimes there's a need, because I've gone down a track somewhere and I don't know where I am. But this short passage means more to me today than it ever really ever has. And it links me to all steps, including for sure step three becomes a much stronger commitment, an absolute decision, and an absolute love of this God that I believe in, that this universal source of awareness, of beingness, of, I don't even know how to explain it really, but the consciousness, it's a consciousness. It's something that is doing consciousness through me or something. I can't even explain it, but it is beautiful enough to stay humble too. And I've not been asked to speak on step seven, but I see humbleness in every step. I see humbleness in each of my days now. So I guess that's really, that's my living step six, I guess you would say. I see powerless. I'll wrap it up with this. It's like I see powerless in so many moments in a day. I identify them as powerlessness. I absolutely believe something is operating behind that film that is going on the screen, the film through my head. And I have a commitment now in my third step to that process of checking it and not efforting it anymore, but to allow the power to flow through. And if there's motives or if there's figures and action figures, as like one of my guides calls it, if that's going on and I step forward and needed, and then, you know, just a reality check, step five. But the essence, the nature of what went wrong is not evading me anymore. It's not evading me. And I can absolutely allow that then to pass by, flow through until truth, reality, and God is present. And then something very different happens. I'm a different Judith. I'm a different Judith in absolutely nearly every way. And don't get me wrong, there'll be moments, cunning, baffling, and powerful moments in which I just don't want to let go. But anyway, for me, there really is no more letting go, because that's too much work. But there is definitely a love of being in a power as often as I possibly can. So, okay, thanks. That's what I got tonight.